good to be in the house of the Lord, and thank you to our musicians. Y'all can be seated if you like to. I know it's quite the sacrifice that you guys do to come all the way down here working all day and traveling, and I believe the Lord sees that. And how many come expecting to hear from the Lord this evening? Amen. He'll give you what you come expecting, and I'm sure thankful for that. You know, it's I'd be mighty disappointed if we didn't get that, you know. We serve a God that is mindful of what we're going through, and He's a living God. I want to speak to you on a simple thought this evening on enabled believers. Enabled believers. And she'll have these on the multimedia. We'll start with St. John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 to 13. Again, I count it a privilege to be among you tonight, and I just ask you to, I know you're tired in your flesh, if you're human like I am. How many humans we got here tonight? Well, there's a few. Well, we'll pray for the rest of you converted to the human race, right? No, it's. I know you're tired. If you're human, you're tired. I've been out in the heat and stuff, and I won't try to hold you any longer than I have to, but I believe that the Lord has something for us. So let's just go to the word right now. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. I ask you to just touch this little flock, Lord, that's here tonight. Lord, they that are listening over the radio waves, Lord, I ask you that we could all come to one mind and one accord under the sound of your word, Lord. Help us, Lord. And as David said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We love you in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to talk to you on enabled believers. And if you look at Webster, to be enabled means to provide with the means or opportunity, training that enables a person to earn a living, to make possible, practical or easy, a deal that would enable passage of a new law, to cause to operate software that enables the keyboard. And another one is to give legal power, capacity, or sanction to a law enabling admission of a state. So we want to be enabled. Another little definition of enabled is we can push a button back there that would enable the microphone to work. But if you don't push it on, you can sing all you want to, it's not going to come through. And a lot of times, that's the way it can be. Sometimes we feel like our prayers to the Lord. You can shout all you want to, shout, Lord, help me with this, help me with this. But we need Him to push enable. Because once he pushes enable, there ain't nothing going to stop it. And there's only one person that can open that, and that's God. There's only one person that can open our filter inside of us that we can believe, and that's God. And God can do that. God wants us to believe his word. You believe that?
Amen.
But the Brim says this. He says, the key given me of the Lord, whereby I was able to determine the messenger for each age, is a most scriptural one. In fact, it might be called the keystone of the Bible. It is the revelation that God never changes and that his ways are as unchangeable as he is. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ecclesiastes 3:14-15, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Here it is, an unchanging God with unchanging ways, that what he did at the first, he will have to keep on doing until it is done for the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages. The man that God chose for the first age and how God manifested in his man's ministry would be the example for all other ages. What God did in the first church age is what he wants to do in all other ages. So God doesn't change. So that's the keystone, Brother Branham's saying. This is the keystone of the Bible that we can say is the revelation that God don't change. And that's the thing about it. If you're fighting an enemy, if you're working on an enemy, if you're a boxer, you're going to fight somebody, you want to learn how he fights. Well, that's the thing about it. If God doesn't change, and the devil, he'll try to do different things. But, you know, the thing about truth is truth, you can stay, when you have truth, you can always go back to it. But you got to lie. You got to keep changing your story all the time, all the time, all the time. God don't change. Ain't you thankful for that? Because if God had to change his stories to make things line up, then you would never be able to have faith in it. I mean, at least I couldn't. But because God, he's the same yesterday and forever. And if you look at from Genesis to Revelation, it's the same story, but it's in different manifestations. If God is showing that God don't change, it's just in a deeper detail. And I showed this one time to my kids one time when they were younger. I said, it's like having a statue, and you got this statue that's, you've got a pillowcase over it, and you're pulling that pillowcase. That statue's never changed. It's the same statue all the time.
Right.
The difference is, as I'm pulling that pillowcase off of it, you're seeing different aspects of the same statue. It's the same statue all the time.
Right.
And God is the same God all the time. But from Genesis to Revelation, it's God, different manifestations of pulling things back. And how's he doing it? By enabling his believers. How does God enable a believer? He gives them the word, but not just the word. He gives them the spirit with that word. Because, you know, if you just have the word, and you're going to be just like a Pharisee or Sadducee. But when you have the spirit with that word, that's what puts that word in Revelation. That's what makes you get excited.
Right.
Amen. So I love Revelation. It's good. I'm going to read one more quote, then we'll kind of keep building on this. Now, out of this first key that we have received of the Lord, there comes another slightly less wonderful truth. I said that the true church would always try to be like it was in the book of Acts. That is exactly right. But we have discovered that the word also teaches an invasion of error until there is complete blackout of truth in the last day when the Lord is about to appear. The question now arises in our minds. Now listen to this. This is the question that arises in our minds. Does God forsake his own and let them fall into a state of complete deception? On no account. For the scripture says very clearly in Matthew 24:24 that the elect cannot be deceived. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. What then? The answer is clear before us. There is a true church and a false church. There is a true vine and a false vine. But of course, that false church, that false vine body, will always try to assert the position of the true church and contend that she and not the elect are the real and authentic. The false will try to kill the true. That is how it was in the book of Acts. That is how it's set forth in seven ages. And that is how it's declared in the various epistles. That is how it has been. That is how it is now. That is how it will be. It can't change. So there is a genuine believer and there is a false believer. There is a genuine vine. There is a false vine. And all down the time, now remember, God don't change. And the statue never changes. But as you're pulling the statue, you're seeing a little bit more of the word. A little bit, you're seeing some toes, you're seeing some feet. And if you've never saw it, you're just kind of guessing what it is. I could have a duck under here. You can try to pull it up. You're seeing the feet. You would guess all kinds of things that it was. But the more that's being revealed, it's no longer guessing. And that's what I love about Revelation, because it takes away the guesswork.
Right.
Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
I don't have to guess and wonder, am I going in the rapture? I know I'm going in the rapture. How many knows I am going in the rapture?
Amen.
Now, how many knows you're going in the rapture?
Amen.
I'm going to wake you up one way or another. That's right. We have, by revelation, we know who we are. We know that this statue doesn't change. When I say statue, I'm talking about the word. The word does not change. It's the same thing. But in the midst of that, there's a true believer and there's a false believer. And you know, it says that false believer, that false vine, will criticize and ridicule that real vine. Now, if you think about this, and in the religious world, unfortunately, we see that. We'll see cliques around the message that will ridicule the little bitty church because you're not with us. You don't sign with us because you don't do this. You don't get up and shout. I've been in meetings where they say, you get the Holy Ghost and you'll stand up and shout when I'm preaching. Show me where Brother Branham ever one time ever said that. He'd never done that.
Right.
You know, when Brother Branham would preach, I love it because when Brother Branham preached, he could preach where I could actually hear what he's saying.
Right.
You say amen.
Amen. It's almost like music. You take music, you know, you take away the music, the instrument of all the stuff, you know, the guitars, the drums, and all stuff. What do you got left? The lyrics. But if you take away a lot of that, a lot of songs, what's the song that's left over? And brother and sister, that's the way it is with this message that's been going around here. Take away the shout and the dance and all that stuff. What is the lyrics? What is the message? And that's the way it's got to be with our lives. We can't have just a bunch of emotions going all the time. When you take away the emotions, what's the lyrics that's left over in our life on a daily basis? Because that's the song of the bride. The song of the bride is not shouting so much. It's a faith in the words of singing. There is a word that God has had all down the ages. God has always had it, and He's just revealing it. He's pulling the pillowcase off of it. And by revelation, one day at a time, He's showing more and more and more. And we got the lyrics. And then once we get under the song, we'll really have the song. That's when there'll be a really shouting time. No wrong. I believe in shouting here. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with shouting here. I'm just saying we need to make sure we got the lyrics here.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
But then some people got so much of lyrics, but they ain't got no shouting. There's a balance.
Right.
You can go so far one way, and you go so far the other way. We don't want no shouting. We want just the word, just the word, just the word, and you be dead. You know, I want to be right in that middle.
Right.
And an enabled believer. Because whenever we are an enabled believer and we're walking in this word, and then when a need arises, we are enabled. And then I can be like Sister Hattie, right? Whenever he says something he says, she'll say, "That ain't nothing but the truth." But she was enabled. And that's why, because she was enabled, he can say, "You ask what you want right now." How could she do that? Because she was an enabled believer. She was engaged into the word, the light that was given her at her time. She was walking in that light, and she just happened to say the right thing at the right time. I believe God does that same thing. He don't change, as I just said. He's the same God. He'll do the same things. If we will walk engaged to this word, brothers and sisters, walk engaged with this spirit, we may be going to the gas station, and we may say the right thing at the right time. And because we did that, God will drop a blessing. God's got all kinds of blessing that He wants to give, but it's because we got to say the right thing at the right time.
Right.
But we got to make sure we're saying the right thing at the right time.
Amen.
A lot of times we'll be saying the wrong thing at the right time, you know, if we're not careful, if you're human like I am. Amen. I want to be an enabled believer. Bear with me. I got a new iPad, and I haven't fixed the screen, so it'll keep blocking out on me. So. Jesus spoke to the people in parables about the seed being sown among the thorns on stony ground and deep fertile, into the deep fertile ground. Who knows what I'm talking about in the scriptures? Jesus is talking to them. And the disciples come to him as he was talking to them. He said, some will fall among thorns, some will fall among stony ground, some will fall in deep fertile. This is the scripture that we're talking about to preserve time. In Matthew chapter 13, starting verse 9 through 17, I believe she's going to have it here for us. Says, who have an ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive.
Right.
Remember how we talked about how God don't change? The word don't change? Jesus was pointing back to what Isaiah said. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets, righteous men, have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. That was a true statement when Jesus said that. that when these disciples that were before him, he said, people of old time, they would have loved to have seen what you see right now. This revelation of this part of the cloth being pulled back, the people that were only looking at the toes and the ankles and the knees, they would have loved to have seen what you're seeing right now. They would have been excited to see what you... Brother and sister, we're the same way. Amen. There were people that were down the ages, as our sister sung the song, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God, that they would have loved to have seen what we see. Because they were dying for their faith under the revelation and the light that they had. And we've been given so blessed to have the full word today. You say amen. God has opened the word fully to us where we have the full revelation of Jesus Christ, where we can see it. But Jesus was talking to these other people. He said, I can speak in parables. Even though they hear me, they can't hear me. Even though they can see me, they can't see me, because they're not seeing it. Because it's something deeper than just what he's saying. It's a revelation. If you look later on in the scriptures, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I have a bad problem with doing that. Anybody ever do that? You want to talk to somebody? Brother Tony, thank you. I'm not the only one. Maybe when we get on the other side, brother, we won't do that no more. That statement was true then, and it's true now. Let's go to St. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not thou these things? This was a man that was known to have the word. Who has the word? Nicodemus. What about me? If you use the name Nicodemus, I say, oh yeah, that's a godly brother. He knows the word. And this was a man that was coming to Jesus and said, How can these things be? And Jesus said, Aren't you a master of Israel? Aren't you a guy that's supposed to be carrying the word? I mean, even though he had the word, he was not an enabled believer. Brother and sister, I don't want to just have the word. I want to be an enabled believer. That way, whenever I need the action from this word, I've got the goods to talk about what I'm talking about. Amen? I remember as a young man, you know, they would say, well, if this happens, I'll just whoop him, or I'll do this, and I'll do that. But then when the real thing happens, well, I'll do something different. You know, I heard a story one time. It's not to be funny, but I think it's a point across. I heard a story one time. This man come through, and he said, he went to the guy and he said, You know what? I believe I can whoop you. And the guy said, I believe you can. He said, Okay, we'll put your name on the list. Goes to the next guy, I believe I can whoop you. I believe you can. Put your name on the list. Goes to the other guy, said, I believe I can whoop you. He said, I believe you can. Put your name on the list. He said, You know what? I don't think you can whoop me. He said, I'll take your name off the list. That's just like the devil, brother and sister. He'll come at you, he'll come at you, he'll come at you. And if you allow him, he'll bully you every day of your life. He'll scare you over town. But when you say, boo back, devil, I know who I am in the word. God don't change. He's the same yesterday and forever. I am an enabled believer. And when you do that, you'll see the old devil back down. Amen. But it's because you have to be an enabled believer. Amen. And I'm not promoting going out and betting somebody. So don't be doing that. I think y'all know that. The church is to be built by revelation and upon revelation. And Nicodemus knew all about the Bible, but he was not an enabled believer. Brother Graham says this. He says, Someone said not long ago, I believe I quoted it here before, I don't know, said, Why in the world don't you leave them women and men alone to me? Said, The people believe you to be a prophet. I said, I am not. But the people believe you to be. Why don't you teach them how to receive visions and how to do the works of God like that? I said, how can I teach them algebra when they don't even know their ABCs? How can you take a child out of kindergarten and give them a college education today? Teach them square root measure. How can you do it when he don't know what ABC means? You know what ABC means? Always believe Christ. That's right. Don't believe the church. Don't believe the creed. Don't believe the doctrines. Believe Christ. Why? To know him. To know him is life. Is that right? Not know his creed. He ain't no creeds. Not to even know his word. Not to know his word. You got to know him. Know him as your Savior in new birth. Like Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you can't believe earthly things, I tell you, how could you believe the heavenly things? How are you going to believe spiritual things of entering into the Spirit and knowing and seeing visions and things like that and set a school in order like that when they don't even believe earthly things? Can't even believe to wear clothes right? Can't even believe to quit their smoking, quit their lying, lay their temper aside and all them things, do all the things there, quit lusting? How can you teach people to enter into the Spirit when they got all those other things hanging on, see? Oh my. He's talking about, I want the algebra, but we got to get the ABCs. And brother and sister, I want to know that I can believe when I need to. Yeah. Amen? Everything on our Christian walk is based off of faith and believing. Salvation is based off believing. I can tell you every day of your life, you are saved. But you got to believe that. I can say, you've got the Holy Ghost. It's for you. But you've got to believe that. Because it's according to your faith, not mine. Because if you just say, well, Daniel said it, that must be it. No, that ain't it. You've got to believe it. That's right. And that's what our whole Christian experience is based on. Believing. Well, you can truly believe. Brother Branham talks about it many times. He talked about the guy. He said, you know what? I don't believe in that divine healing stuff. He said, of course not, brother. It's not for you. About still my cough and laughing. But like, you know what? That's right. It's for the believers. There was two different vines, the true vine and the false vine. They both look religious. But you know what? That false vine will say, I don't believe in that divine healing stuff. I don't believe in that Holy Ghost stuff. I don't believe in all that stuff. But that true, that or the false vine will do that. That true vine will just keep pressing right on. And being ridiculed for it by that other vine. You believe in that divine healing stuff. You believe in that Holy Ghost stuff. You believe in you have to dress this way stuff. You have to believe that. Who is it that ridicules them? The true vine? No, the false vine. Right. They'll ridicule them, ridicule them, ridicule. And the whole time they're saying, I love Jesus. Praise God. The false vine is religious. So remember that. When you feel ridicule, you feel beat down, it's a good indication that you're a true vine. Mm-hmm. Amen? If you're going through life and everything's smooth and hunky-dory, probably got something to worry about. Amen. I want to believe this word. I want to be able to believe it when I need it. Brother Brim says this. He says, false prophets have false words, creeds, denominations, sensations. Oh, bless God. Oh, only thing you have to do. You want to wear Elijah's garment? Glory to God. Only thing you have to do is just be blank in your mind. Don't think of anything. Just say, oh, fill me, fill me, fill me. The devil will sure do that.
That's right.
And then when you rely upon that, oh, it ran all over me, Brother Branham. I felt it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Jumping up and down like that. Oh, I got it, I got it. And live like you live.
Right.
By their fruits you shall know them. See, not sensations. Oh, brother, you want to receive the Holy Ghost? Just get down at the altar and say, glory, 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 until you speak in tongues. Uh-huh. Go back out and live any kind of life, lie, steal. When they tell you about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, well, that's fanaticism. My church teaches different. And say that you are born again, washed by the waters of the Word, something's wrong somewhere, see? You'll believe every word just the way it's wrote here. We don't need, the Bible said, it's of no private interpretation. God interpreted it, and that is the way it is. His word here. Don't the Bible say, I believe in 2 Peter there, the Bible is of no private interpretation? Certainly. No private interpretation. It's wrote just the way it means. It's right like that. Just believe it just the way it's wrote there. It'll bring the same results.
Do you believe that?
The word will do the same results. Remember, we're talking about the statue. I hate to call him a statue, but it's a way of explaining it. The same God, the same word, the same revelation, it does not change. It is not for a private interpretation. If I was pulling this garment off of my statue, I hate to say this, but Lord, forgive me, to understand what I'm trying to say, the way I'm trying to explain it. If Jesus was the statue, if I'm pulling the pillowcase off of it, I can pull it up and somebody can say, well, I see it this way, and I see it this way, and I see it this way. And everyone's got an interpretation. Well, I feel it means this. From the sincerity of my heart, I feel this is what I'm seeing. I'm looking at the statue. I'm looking at it. As it's pulling back, and honestly, from my heart, I don't feel like it's this. To me, this is what it means. To me, this is what it means. We can have our own opinions, but there's not a private interpretation to this word. If there was, how in the world could we have faith for a body change? It's because God don't change. His word don't change, and there is a one true revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that's right?
Amen.
Say, I'm not saying Jesus is a statue. This is my way of explaining. Down the ages, there was a revealing of the word where he was revealing a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And even when Paul was met with the fire on the road to Damascus, he did not go right out and start preaching. Paul got alone with God and sought God for a revelation. And once he touched God, and he was enabled. And then once Paul was enabled, he was able to go out and do the things he did. But the reason a lot of people are not enabled is they don't get alone with God and doing that. Where you've got to be enabled with yourself, where you know yourself. I know who Jesus Christ is. That's what Brother Ray was talking about. Not to know just his word, but to know him.
Yeah.
Because you can know the word and not know him. And it makes a difference. You can know the word, and you know, if you know, you know what happens when you know the word and you don't know Christ? You know what it is? It will develop arguments, debaters.
Right.
We have not. This message was never given to debate.
Right.
It was never given to argue. Whenever revelation comes to you, it brings such a humility. God, thank you for this word. Thank you. It brings a humility.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be an enabled believer. Enabled. Where God can use me. We're back. I love that. It was Brother Tony or Brother Hughes that brought this up the other day. Maybe both of them brought it. I don't remember. Talking about how that there was more, Jesus Christ did more miracles in the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Branham's own ministry than he did in his own life. The key word was not Brother Branham did more works. That was not it. Jesus Christ did more works in Brother Branham's life. Because it was not Brother Branham. It was Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, Brother Branham is just your brother.
Amen.
He had to get baptized. He had to be born again. He had to be filled with the Holy Ghost, just like you and me. Because without the blood of Jesus Christ, he ain't going to be there. Is that right? So if Brother Branham, if it was Jesus Christ doing the work in Brother Branham's ministry, who is it that will be doing the works in our ministry? In our life? Who is it? You? Me? Nope. Jesus Christ. It will be him that does the work. But how does he do that? Whenever we are enabled. And how are we enabled? When we surrender to the word.
Amen.
If you look at the widow of Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath was a wonderful woman, I believe. I believe she's just as genuine as can be. A famine come through the land, and the very prophet that caused the famine on the land was the answer to the problem. Ain't that something? He caused the famine on the land, and because he caused the famine on the land, here he comes through, and here's a woman with her starving to death, and her boy going to starve to death. He says, bake me a cake. This woman was fixing to starve to death, but what happened? She was being enabled. How was she being enabled, Brother Daniel? The word. Because the word, through the prophet, the spirit of Elijah, come across her path, and when it crossed her path, he says, bake me a cake. And she said, I've only got enough for me and my child, and we're going to die. He says, feed me first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the others be added unto you. You know what? It's that little moment whenever you have a choice. I can either pay my tithes or I can pay my bill. It's during that moment is where you will realize whether you will see if you will be blessed or not, if God will meet your need or not. Will I steal from God or will I pay for my bills? Put it that way. No, brother, I would never steal from God. Well, according to the word, you do.
That's right.
If you don't give in your tithes and offerings, because God can bless you with it. It's in that little bit of moment of decisions. Listen to me. It's our moments of decisions is what will determine whether we're going to get that blessing of knowing more the Lord. And I'm not trying to talk about a prosperity of being rich and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being in the blessings of the Lord, of walking with the Lord. It's because of our little decisions that we make. Our decisions, our moments that we spend with the Lord, it affects our decision and our decisions that we make and what we say. Because, you know, we have the power of the spoken word right now. Well, we can speak the word, but you know what? If I'm not enabled, I can speak all I want to. It ain't happening. Brother Brennan would say, that's why we want the favor of the Lord. As I mentioned today, you have a favor, you have a portion of a favor because you're his son, you're his daughter. But you want to know a real favor? It's whenever you're walking and surrendering to his word. And when you're doing that, you are an enabled son where he can back up what you're saying. I want to be an enabled believer.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that widow Zarephath had no idea that day was going to be the day that there was going to be a spirit of the Lord come across her path. But there was something inside her. When the spirit crossed her path, she responded. And it's our response to the Spirit of God. That's what I'm trying to get at. We've got to have a response to the Spirit of God. And when our response to the Spirit of God, when it comes on, it enables the believer. Right. You can have somebody that's sick, that's out of cancer, or have something right there. They can be sick the whole service. They don't feel a thing. But all of a sudden, in an instant, you'll feel the Spirit come down upon you. What is it? It is a quickening. It's a quickening of the Spirit. And when you do that, your action, your reaction to that Spirit is what gives you the faith to claim your healing. And you'll be healed at that moment. A person that says that wants the Holy Ghost, I want it so bad, or a refilling of the Holy Spirit. I want that Holy Spirit. It's when the Spirit comes across your path of the Word. It comes across your path. It is your reaction to that Spirit, your reaction to that Word, your reaction to that feeling that God puts in your heart. That is what enables or disables. That's what Brother Rem said. You'll never be the same when you leave the service. You will either be closer to the Lord or you'll be further away. Because it's whether you're enabled or disabled. I don't want to be disabled. We live in a world of disabled.
Yeah.
I want to be an enabled, where I am enabled by the faith. Amen. Not because I want $1 million, but I want to see my children prospering in the Lord. As Sister Hattie Wright said, he said she could ask for $1 million and probably have it. Or said it would have happened. But she wanted the salvation of her children. Her heart was in the right place. And that is, in my opinion, this is Brother Daniel, I believe that is why she was enabled. Her heart was in the right place. And she was looking at the words. This word is the truth.
Right.
Amen. I didn't feel a thing, but she believed it. And this will be our last scripture. St. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is the door. As I was saying a while ago, if this door back here, if you've never been back behind this door, you can guess what's behind that door. What's behind this door? Could it be $1 million? I doubt it. Could it be a car? Could it be a tree? What could be behind this door? We could all speculate. We could all have guesses. We could all imagine what's behind that door. And it's a mystery unto you until you go behind that door. And brother and sister, Jesus said, "I am the door." And as he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You must have something on the inside of you that's absolutely changed on the end, where you truly surrender to God, and then he will open his word to you. And then you can walk behind the door, and it's no longer a mystery to you anymore. But there's only one that can open the door, and that's Jesus Christ." There's only one person that can give us a revelation. And whenever you need have a need of something, whenever I need faith for something to take place. I was listening to Brother Brenham talk this morning. He was talking about how that a man that got hurt, he got crushed on a tree. A tree had crushed him. He said that man was in dire pain, called him late at night. And Brother Brenham said, "I got on my knees and prayed, put my hands in the air, praising the Lord. God, please help the man." And the man was absolutely perfectly healed, sitting in the service. Says, "Isn't that right, brother? Raise your hand." And the brother raised his hand. We're talking about a man that was absolutely crushed by a tree. That was absolutely a hopeless case by saying that. The man will be lucky if he even lives. And just make sure he's saved. And not only is the man saved, but God healed the man and restored him. And a man got on his knees and cried out to God, said, "God, have mercy for this man." And the Lord healed the man. I know that gets so common to us because we hear so many times, like, brother, sister, it was a man that was crushed, that should have died. And he was healed, and not only healed, sitting in a service. And says, "Isn't that right, brother?" And brother raising his hands, "Yes, that was right. Praise God. God healed me." That same Spirit, that same God is still here tonight. And whenever a moment of emergency comes across our path, brother and sister, we don't want to hurry and try to get enabled at that point. We want to already be enabled. We want to already be walking with the Word. We want to already be in the Spirit. That way, whenever that needs arise, I say, "Oh, God, help me. God, give her life in Jesus' name. God, meet this need in Jesus' name." And that Spirit come down because we are enabled. You know, Brother Graham talked about how that he was, the tax man was just hounding him. And he started to go outside the door, and he stepped out the door. He said, "Tell him I stepped outside, shut the door." And went out behind the house. And did he step outside? Yeah, but was it right? No. And his wife called him out on it. Thank God for a godly wife. Imagine that, a godly wife called out the prophet of God.
Amen.
His wife said, "Now, Bill, that wasn't exactly right." He said, "Well, I did step out." "Yeah, but Brother Bill, you know." He said, "Yeah, you're right." Brother Brandon went to a meeting. He was going to pray for a child and couldn't pray for him because he knew that was wrong. Brother Brandon had to go make that right to the tax people and say, "I'm sorry, this is what happened." And they said, "Brother Brandon, we thought we respected you before. Now we really respect you." And Brother Brandon had to go back. And then he could go back and pray, and they could go. If that will happen to Brother Brandon, brother and sister, it will happen to us also. That's what I'm talking about. Let's keep our hearts pure before the Lord. Let's stay enabled before the Lord. That way, whenever a need arises, that way I don't say, "Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I have to repent of a sin real quick before I can do this." No, I want to be activated in the Lord, where I am walking in the light as He is in the light. And then when God's ready, He can just snap His finger or blow the wind or however He wants to do it, then I will be activated where I can immediately do it. Amen. Not working anything up. Not standing at the altar and saying, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It doesn't work that way. It's just simply walking with the Word.
Amen.
And these are the lyrics I'm talking about. I don't want just emotion. That emotions are good. I want the strong one to get taller and stuff like that. But make sure the lyrics are right in my heart.
Amen.
Let's all stand. I appreciate y'all paying attention tonight. Y'all are an awesome congregation. Always are, though. Go ahead and let our musicians come forward. I want to be an enabled believer. Where God's ready to use me, I want to be ready. Amen. And Sister Brittany, do you have a song by chance? Yeah, be under me. I like it. Brother Tony, wouldn't you ready to come forward to you, brother? Be it unto me, Hannah.
Thank you.
thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. Lord, hands that went up and said, just remember me in prayer, Brother Daniel. Lord, you see those hands behind those bodies, Lord. They said, I just need some help, Lord. You know the needs, Lord. You're mindful. You see the sparrow when he hits the ground. Lord, as I was telling Brother Tony, Lord, of just seeing how the world is so big, is how many fish and how many birds and how many animals are in this world, and they're just so too many to count, and you manage every bit of it, Lord. You are so mindful of everyone, Lord. A little crawdad that may need something to eat, you make sure he's got something to eat in due time, because that little crawdad's got a position in this life. He's got a purpose to play. And Lord God, if you are so mindful of a little crawdad, Lord, Lord, to make sure he's got the food that he needs, the energy that he needs, that you will provide for him. And that crawdad, there ain't no fisherman can ever get him. There's no fish, there's no shark, there's nothing that can ever get to him until he fulfills his purpose. And God, if you're that mindful of a little crawdad, how much more for the bride of Jesus Christ? How much more for the brothers and sisters that I have in this room under the sound of my voice? Lord, there's enemy that tries to come in every way, at every angle, of oppressions, under constant oppression. But Lord, just as sure as you will see to it, you are a great manager, a great creator. Lord, that you can make sure that crawdad fulfills his purpose, we too will fulfill our purpose. We will take our body change. We were born for it. We are in your mind, Father. Before the foundation of the world, you saw us. Help us to rest in that, Lord. Help us to rest in that you don't change. You are mindful of us. Just as sure as down the ages, it looked absolutely impossible to get brothers and sisters because their life was such a wreck. They were so hard-headed. They just... preacher could preach and preach and preach. Looked like it was absolutely impossible. But every single one whose names was written in that Lamb's Book of Life, you made sure they fulfilled their purpose. God, I want to fulfill my purpose. These brothers and sisters that I'm preaching to tonight, they want to fulfill their purpose, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be enabled believers. Would you activate us again tonight, Lord? Activate our faith. Activate where we can believe your word, Lord. And expect to see you move in our life. Bless this church, Lord. Bless our pastor. In Jesus' name.
God can call for that, there's something there to respond. While Brother Daniel was, he mentioned there just a little while ago about the widow there, Zarephath. And if you go and read it in 1 Kings chapter 17, where Elijah called the famine, and the scripture said that the Lord told him to go over by this brook. And God said, because I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, he hadn't even gone there yet. But God says, I've already told them. I've already spoken. And those ravens are going to obey my voice. And when you get there, they're going to bring you bread and flesh in the morning and in the evening. They're going to sustain you there. And so the scripture said that after a while, the brook dried up. And then the Lord told him, said, now go down there to that widow down there. For I have commanded her.
Yes.
To sustain you. He hadn't even gone there yet. But God said, I've already commanded her. She don't even know you're coming.
Right.
But I have commanded her to sustain you. And just so you know the story, that when he came up there, she had just enough left to make a cake of bread for her and her son, and then expected that they were going to die. But when that prophet walked up there and said, bake me a cake first, for thus saith the Lord. There was something already in her enabled that caused her to recognize that. Because, you know, what kind of person would do that? A stranger walk up and say that, just say, forget it, you know. But she had something inside that recognized that. And so through her obedience, not only was he sustained, so was she and her son. And so Brother Daniel's right. We want to be enabled. We want to be ready. And I guess all I can say is we want to be in fellowship. Stay in fellowship with the Lord. Can he speak to you? Can he say, as I said the other day, can he tell you, don't go to this store. I want you to go to this other one. Even though it's further, even though it costs more, I have a reason for you to go there. Perhaps there's someone he wants you to speak to. Perhaps he wants you to miss a robbery that's going to take place. Who knows why? We don't need to know why. Sometimes it takes you too long to get ready for work in the morning. And I just say, well, there must be a reason. But we just, you know, to stay in a place in the fellowship where God can speak to you. And so we really appreciate what we heard tonight. It was really good. I would say this, that the scripture says Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Brother Daniel was talking about, worried about people misunderstanding him when saying that he was a statue. Jesus Christ is an image. The difference is that he's the living image. That's the difference. He is an image of the living God, but he's living. And so, and God through the ages, especially in our age, has slowly been taking that sheen off and revealing more. Whereas in earlier ages, they could still think he was three, but not now. Because he's revealed enough for us to know him. So we're so thankful for what God has done in this day. Many have desired to see what you and I see and hear what you and I hear, and we're not able to. Brother Graham said one time in one place, he said, these revelations that have come to us over a period of time, she's using my own words, but, you know, for many years, you know, there was a time that you ask yourself right now to do an analysis of just how many things God has dropped in your heart that once you didn't know. Precious things. You've got a revelation with Godhead now. You realize what serpent seed is, why Jesus had to be born of virgin birth. Any of those revelations that God has spoken to you through the years, and you know that those are truths, and Satan can't take those away from you. You know, you didn't get those all at once. You got those over a period of time. And Brother Rem said in one place, he said, if all of that would just come upon us all at once, it would just... we just stand back and say, Lord, you know, it just would about rapture you. You know, and so we don't want to become, we don't want these things to become common to us. We want to ask God to keep those on the front burner, not the back burner.
Yes.
We keep these things on the front burner so that they're there and they're in the front of us, because God gave us these revelations for a reason. God has spoken these things for a reason. And so there's a time, whether it's today or tomorrow, or if nothing else, just body change time. There's a time coming where we can draw from all of those things. And it'll make the difference in that hour. It'll make the difference tomorrow. It'll make the difference every day, next week, and so forth. But it definitely will make a difference. Because it's this message that he has sent that makes the difference. What, what separates us, because he has given that to us. And so I like to think, as I've said the other day, about the woman to the well. He had to go by Samaria because she had representation. And I like to think that I must go by Laodicea because there's a group of people there that have representation. The word had to come. You know, the scripture tells us the word has to come to a prophet, but the word has come to us. Right? And so I like to think that the Lord, he has to come and visit us because we have representation. Amen. So we thank him for those things. And I guess I will close what I'm saying by saying this. You want to engage with this word. And I don't mean just like engage, like being married, you know, going to be married or whatever, but to engage, you know, like when a police officer stops someone and they have to engage them. They have to interact. They have to, and so we want to take this word and don't just look at it and say, yeah, we heard the word, but engage it. Begin to pull it in and reciprocate with it and do for it and see what it'll do for you. So it becomes a living thing every day. Because my brother said, my sister, God can do things that you know nothing of. He can do things that we're not even considering. Like our sister the other night, she wasn't expecting a warm sensation to go over her body, but it did. And I had that happen to me one time. I told you the story. How does he do that? I don't know how he does that, but he does. And your body changes will happen just that simple. Just like our sister the other night. Just that simple. So you don't have to worry. God is God, and he can do things that we have no clue in how he can do it. And so engage him. Look for him to be supernatural in your life. Love him and reciprocate with him and tell others about him. And just have him always on the front burner of your life to see what he might do. Amen. Because if you have a great expectation, then you're sure to see him move in your life. Thank the Lord for what we heard tonight. Let's just sing this again. Amen.